Welcome to the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. On this show, we feature different programs, individuals, and initiatives focused on being more inclusive of individual needs. We invite you to learn right alongside us. If you want some additional resources or access to our courses, please visit our website or follow us on social media. But for right now, let's get right to the episode. How can we make job searching more inclusive? What can companies do to really show commitment to hiring and supporting neurodiverse employees? That's the focus on today's episode. We're talking to Shay Belsky all about Mentro. Mentro is a neurodiversity employment network. Unlike other job searching platforms, Mentro focuses on the strengths of the neurodiverse job seeker and uses a variety of data points to match them with potential employers. The platform also works with universities and service providers. Mentro is doing a lot of amazing work, and I'm really excited to share this interview with you all. So let's dive right in. Hello, and welcome back to the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. Today, we're interviewing Shay Belsky from Mentro, and Mentro is a neurodivergent-friendly talent platform that's looking to make the workforce more inclusive. So Shay, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I am super excited to be here to talk more about Mentro, about myself, and I'm excited to get the word out and also just chat about everything.
Perfect. I'm so excited. And actually, I came across Mentro when I was researching Microsoft's AI for accessibility. It popped up. I did an interview with them a couple of weeks back, and I was like, this is really incredible. Like, this focus on inclusive workspaces and really making sure that that process is inclusive. So I'm really excited to talk about it. But before we dive into the actual company and the organization, I wanted to know a little bit more about you. So would you be able to tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience and your background for our listeners?
Absolutely. So my name is Shay Belsky. I am a software engineer. I'm the CTO of Mentro, based out of Arlington, Massachusetts, like 20, 25 minutes outside of Boston, depending on how you choose to go. I've lived in the Boston area for a few years, but I went to school at Cornell University. I studied information science there with a minor in education. I'm actually autistic. I am really passionate about being an advocate for people who are autistic, for people who are neurodivergent or disabled more generally. So I really try to be an advocate for folks who have a hard time being heard or have a hard time advocating for themselves. In my free time, I spend a lot of time running, skiing, hiking, or doing fun things with my fiance. We've got two cats as well who love to pop their heads in and say hello. That's a little bit of a spiel about me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for telling us about yourself. Can you speak to the inspiration behind starting Mentro?
So one of our co-founders, our CEO, is Julika Kumar. And she has an older brother who is autistic and nonverbal. So he does not communicate verbally the same way that you and I do. And for the longest time, people found that her brother, his name is Vikram, was not the intelligent or capable of higher thought, basically. But when he was able to communicate using a tablet or a computer or something else, it turns out he could speak seven languages, he could write incredible poetry, and was extremely communicative and really well-spoken, but not in the traditional mechanisms that we use. And Julika was inspired from that moment and from other things to create a company, create a platform where people like her brother could eventually find meaningful, gainful employment, even though they have autism or some other condition under neurodiversity. I found out about Mentro, I think about 6 or 7 months after it was actually founded. I found out about Mentro in February 2020, right before the pandemic really shut things down for the first time. And it was a really good way for me to kind of focus in on something and distract myself from a lot of the troubles and issues that were happening around the world at about the same time.
As for the process itself for Mentro, so I know that it really works toward, like you had mentioned in the inspiration story, making sure that people are able to find meaningful employment. So what is the process of actually creating a job profile if you're a job seeker on Mentro?
If you're a job seeker and you want to actually come on and tell the world, hey, I'm on Mentro and I'm neurodiverse or neurodivergent, you can sign up for Mentro and then you get onboarded, which takes about 10 to 15 minutes to fill out. And this asks you for some standard information from other job applications, but then more specific information about you that is pertinent to your being neurodivergent. That means what accommodations you need to be successful, what environments you like to work in, what are some places you can and can't work, what time of day do you like to work in, other things about your being neurodivergent. There's a lot of things that we ask you through Mentra that don't get asked on other similar job applications like LinkedIn or Indeed. Because we focus very specifically on folks who are neurodivergent, we're trying to make sure that we get the complete picture about you and your being neurodivergent such that we can make a meaningful match to an employer. Once we have your Mentra job profile, we call it just a Mentra profile, then we can take that information and make matches with jobs and companies and other things. And then on the flip side, something that we do that almost no one else actually does is we ask employers and jobs very similar questions. We ask them, what makes your company neuroinclusive? What do you do to make sure that you can provide your employees with a supportive and thriving environment? What are the details about this job that someone who is neurodivergent should know going into it? And what accommodations can you provide as a function of this job? And we use this information to try to create meaningful matches between the job seeker and the job. So that way you're only getting the most important jobs put in front of you, which you are not only capable of, but also as positioned for success in.
I love that it's like that dual partnership, because so often on so many job platforms, like you mentioned, like LinkedIn, like Indeed, the employer posts the job and that's kind of it. You can upload your resume and that's the extent of it. But I like that you're also asking the employer to think about, like, what are you doing that would make it more inclusive for somebody who may have need different accommodations or supports on the jobs?
Almost every company that we've talked to wants to learn how to be more neuroinclusive and be more friendly and go into this at a better situation. We're partnering with a lot of organizations as well who take care of a lot of that upskilling for employers to make them more inclusive, to educate their recruiters, educate their managers, educate their workers to be more aware of neurodiversity and be aware of the differences that folks who are neurodivergent are going to experience, challenges that they might have, in order to give them as successful and supportive of an environment as they physically can.
That's great. It's really going to set everybody up for success then.
Yeah.
So I wanted to touch about I think it was called on the website, it's almost like a next gen resume. Like you had talked about that there's a lot of questions that are asked, but I was really drawn to the fact that you build that profile and it creates almost like more of a profile that really highlights your strengths. Can you give an example of what that might look like?
So that is the Mentra profile. Like they're similar in that sense. So the next gen resume is your Mentra profile, and we put forth information that is going to enable employers to make the most well-rounded decision about you. That is accommodations that you need to be successful. That is your skills. That is your strengths, your work history. We have a video resume section, a work sample section. We try to put forth as much information about you to employers that helps them make an informed decision. And we give job seekers a lot of creative liberties as well over what goes into the profile. We're really trying to make sure that they can add their own personal touches or personal flourishes to it while still giving people the space to put forth how their neurodiversity comes across to employers to set them on the right foot forward in that department.
I love the focus on like those strengths and how their neurodiversity is their strength and the different things that come along with that. That's pretty great. Including the video part. That's not something that really anybody else does. That's nice that they can showcase their abilities in a more creative way than just this is my work history and this is it.
Yeah.
Gives a good sense of who they are as a person. So we talked about the employer side a little bit and how they also have to answer questions on the platform. Other than the questions and educating the employers about how to be more inclusive, is there anything else in place to make sure that those employers who are looking for applicants are truly inclusive?
We have a relationship right now with basically every employer that we meet. We have to make sure that like they know what's going on and they're not just doing this for like the social credit, I would say, for the feel good feeling, but they're actually doing this because they recognize the value that neurodivergent folks bring and they value them as hard workers, as meaningful workers, as talented people, and not just doing it for the press. We really try to emphasize that with every employer. And so far, we haven't had to turn anybody away because they're just in it for the reputation. Everybody has been fully bought into it. Some people need a little more convincing. But at the end of the day, we've never run into anybody who just doesn't get it or doesn't want to get it. Everybody fully understands what we're here to do. And some people do ask as well, how can we be more neuroinclusive than we already are? What can we be doing better? We connect them with different partners and companies that we're aware of to also make those connections. One thing that Mentra does not do, and we do this intentionally, is that we do not focus on the upskilling of companies or of job candidates, because there's so many other organizations out there that do this really well. We sort of hand them off to other organizations who exist in this territory already and focus exclusively on this area. So when those types of conversations do come up, we absolutely make sure we sort of pass the baton off to these different organizations to make sure that we still make those connections and we don't drop the ball. But it is something that Mentor leaves out of our platform, so to speak, such that we're not stepping on anybody else's toes because these people have well-established programs already.
It also kind of increases that partnership then. And it's nice that the employers, they want to do better and they want to do more. I had read about the pilot program that was done with the University of Connecticut Center for Neurodiversity and Employment Innovation. Could you speak a little bit about that pilot program and what was learned from it and how different universities are getting involved in Mentor aside from traditional employers and companies?
A big part of the things that we realized through our university council was that there's a lot of academic institutions and universities who support neurodivergent students through disability services departments. And every school has a different name for it. But at the end of the day, basically every school, every university or college has a department or some sort of institution focused on helping students with disabilities more generally, and neurodiversity is a part of that. And with them, we really try to help them set their institutions up for success to help their own job seekers, their graduating students, to get jobs in the real world. And with those universities, we really focus on giving them a platform to help them facilitate those job matches. For example, the UConn is like one of our tentpole founders of the University Council. They can come onto Mentor and have a bird's eye view of all of the job seekers who are affiliated with UConn on the platform and are searching for jobs through Mentor or through employers that UConn has relationships or contracts with. Then whoever is managing these job seekers has the ability to just see notes about different candidates. This isn't just specific to universities as well. We're rolling this out to other kinds of partners who exist in a similar capacity. We use this as well for advocacy organizations, vocational rehab centers, staffing agencies. There's lots of organizations out there all across the country that exist in very similar roles or do this on a full-time basis, basically, just for people who are neurodiverse or disabled in some way. And we give them this platform, we leverage this platform to give them a similar set of functionality so they can have a much more hands-on experience for their job seekers and basically not leave them in the dark. Because say you are a vocational rehab center and you have 10 autistic people or 10 people with ADHD on Mentor and you want to give them all the attention that they need and deserve, with Mentor, you have the ability to see information about all 10 of your candidates and you can give them much more of a high-touch, hands-on process than you would with another kind of platform.
That makes sense. You have all that information then available. That's really cool. I talked to a couple universities and their, whatever they had called it, their disability center, like you mentioned, every college is different, but that's great that they can join up and have that opportunity to have that view of all of their students and help with the matching process and supporting them and getting those positions. One of the things I had noticed on your website is that participants also get access to additional benefits aside from the very awesome and completely innovative job matching part of it. There's also the Mentor publications side. Can you speak to a little bit about that and how that benefits the job seekers?
A big part of what we're trying to do beyond just the job seeking part of it is sort of as a microphone for neurodivergent folks who are doing a lot of amazing work in this space, whether they're content creators, whether they're social media influencers, and we give them a massive channel for our social media to basically shout out the really important information about neurodiversity. And what we really try to focus on as well is that there's a large overlap of neurodiversity and intersectionality, because I'll be the first to admit that I don't have a lot of overlap when it comes to intersectionality. I'm a white guy with autism. And unfortunately, it's like kind of the poster boy when it comes to autism and how often these things get diagnosed. There's a lot of folks out there who overlap with different communities, different identities. There's a lot of women who are diagnosed with autism or are neurodiverse in some way who don't ever get that attention or that focus because unfortunately so much of the science is done on white men. But we had a panel a few months back which focused exclusively on intersectionality and neurodiversity, featuring folks from a litany of different backgrounds, whether they were for different race, different gender, gender identity, different sexuality. We try very hard to show that neurodiversity is not just painted in one way, but not to make a bad pun, but it really is a spectrum of different people from different walks of life. And that's really important to us to echo that through the publication and lift up the voices of people who come from these different backgrounds, different perspectives, different experiences, and share information related to job seeking, but then also share a lot of perspectives and information from folks who might otherwise get that microphone to share their message with other people.
I really appreciate that. I think that's really important that you're allowing this space to be a microphone for those people whose voices may not get heard as often, and that you're allowing their perspectives to be shared. That's really great. So yeah. Based on your experiences with Ventra so far, what do you think have been the biggest successes? I mean, obviously, I'm sure the job matching and everybody becoming meaningfully employed is incredible within itself, but are there any specific successes that stand out to you?
I think honestly, the first time I got people hired for the platform after we went into our beta launch was a really big deal. For the last 2 years, we've been building up this platform to get it to a point where we're happy. And I think like either early this year or late last year, we had our first real big hires come in through the platform. We had done pilots before then sort of on our own without using the technology, but just using a manual process. But now we're using this technology platform to make those hires. And we got our first people hired through the platform. We sourced them completely out of the blue and they came together and we put them in front of this employer and they liked what they saw and gave them offer letters, which is a really big deal for us. It's rewarding for me to be a major part of facilitating these people getting job offers, because for a lot of them, it's life-changing. I can say firsthand that for a lot of these job seekers, it is life-changing. Some of them, it's their first ever real meaningful job based on their skill sets. For some people, they're coming out of homelessness or a really bad living situation. For a lot of people, they're first-generation employees or workers somewhere. So for a lot of people, these job opportunities are basically making a difference in their lives. And it's a domino effect too, because when one person gets a job at a major company that can support them, then this person's entire life and the people around them, their lives change too. This person gets all this new job support and social training and whatever it is that then improves their interactions with people around them. If this person now has a stable income, it just positions them better for success in the future. Hopefully they can save up for retirement with a 401k or something similar, or just put money into a savings account. It's a domino effect that cascades extremely rapidly once you get past the 10 or 20 person mark. And it explodes in terms of the impact when we get beyond that. And it's rewarding and satisfying to be a part of changing people's lives for the better in that way.
That's really incredible. I could see how it's like a ripple effect impacting everybody by getting someone a job. I can see how that really is meaningful for everyone involved. I know that Ventra is still pretty early on, but are there any current plans for different types of expansion or other initiatives?
So our big focus is trying to improve our partner-facing experience. I mentioned that we have this experience for partners who are vocational rehab, staffing agencies, counseling centers, et cetera. But the experience to get them on board onto Ventra now is kind of manual because it has to go through myself or another Ventra operations person. That can be a time-consuming process for all of us. So what we're working on right now is a way to basically turn that back on the partners and let them do that themselves. Let them set themselves up with their own account, get their candidates onto Ventra, and basically put as much of the operational load on them while also not making it so burdensome where they don't want to do it. Because right now, it doesn't take us a long time to do it either, but that's because we know what we're doing. But we're keeping the process to like maybe 5 minutes tops, get all the information that you need onto Ventra, and then bam, you have a custom referral link that you as a partner can use to send to your job seekers and say, if you are signing up for Ventra on behalf of this VR or somewhere else, then use our link and we'll be able to basically keep track of you and also help you through your job search, no matter where you go on Ventra. So that's our biggest focus right now. Coming up in next calendar month, we're also rolling out SMS notifications so candidates will get a bit more aware of job opportunities and tasks and other things. We're working on chat within the site, so it'll be easier for employers to reach out to candidates as well. And we're trying to improve the overall onboarding experience for candidates, which was designed a long time ago, and we're going back in and trying to make that even shorter as well. A big win that we have recently as well is that we just released automatic resume parsing. There's the internet meme when you upload your resume to a job site and it asks you for all the same information. But I can say that we recently launched resume parsing. So you upload your resume and it fills out a bunch of those questions for you automatically. It's not perfect. Very few resume parsers are perfect, but it's certainly better than nothing. And we really help candidates try to fix stuff as well when that goes wrong. But I'm really proud of the resume parsing side of things because that was a long time coming.
That's great. And like you said, it's never 100% perfect, but it's nice that that's there. At least some of the information will automatically go in for them. That's really exciting too about the partnerships and the ability to message between job seeker and employer. My last question for you, and this is kind of a broad question, and I think it's a challenging question too, because everybody is unique and has their own unique needs. But what advice would you give to workplaces who are looking to be more inclusive of neurodivergent employees? I mean, obviously there's not a one size fits all answer because everybody's different, but just like a general piece of advice.
The best thing you can do is look at the people who work in your company already and learn from them. Don't just ask for their advice, but make them stakeholders as part of this process and invite them to help understand what will make their experience more inclusive for the people who are already there. And then as you interview new people and bring them into your company, that will evolve naturally as a function of people who are there. If you've met one person who's neurodivergent, you've met one person. And as you said, everybody's different. So the needs of one person is going to be very different than the needs of someone else. But the more that you can do to be supportive, be flexible, and be understanding, the more well-positioned you'll be for people to be successful, regardless of what challenges they're facing, what support they need, or what needs that they have. So start with the people in your organization who are neuroinclusive. And if you don't have them, you're probably wrong, because you definitely have somebody and they just maybe don't feel comfortable saying anything to you. That doesn't mean you have to force them to say anything either. But I think creating the spaces for people to feel comfortable to say something is important. And you're still not going to get everybody to say something, but I think creating that space where people feel comfortable and safe to come together, whether it's an ERG or BRG for a resource group or something similar to that, or just an official community for people to come together. Those are all really important spaces where that kind of conversation and communication also naturally kind of springs up around itself, so to speak.
I think that's a great piece of advice. Like you said, not everybody may want to talk, but having that option and that opportunity to make their voice heard, I can see how that would be something that would help to build the inclusivity, honestly, within any organization. I want to thank you so much, Shay, for joining us today and talking to us all about Mentra. I'm going to make sure to link the Mentra website in the show notes so people can go right in and take a look at it, because the work is pretty incredible. And I think that more people need to take a look at it.
Thanks so much for having me again. I super appreciated it. And if you want to hit me up on LinkedIn, my name is Shay Belsky. Instagram as well, I'm there. I don't know about Twitter these days, but I'm on Instagram and I'm on LinkedIn. So you can hit me up there.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. I hope the information in this episode taught you something new, gave you a new idea, or showcased a new perspective. If you liked the episode, feel free to leave us a review or comment. If you have a recommendation for an individual or an organization who would make a great guest, you can message us on Twitter or Instagram, or send us an email at assemblinginclusion@gmail.com. See you next time.